Welcome to episode 39. Today I have one of my great friends on, Janet the Pink Realtor. She shares with us on how she recreates herself whenever she moves to a new market, overcoming depression and anxiety during difficult times, and how to even pivot during this time that we're facing right now. I'm grateful for her not only sharing her struggles, but also how she overcame them and then came out a better person. Enjoy. This is Unleash Your Inner Legend, a podcast featuring modern-day legends sharing their life choices, habits, and routines that got them to where they are today. Get ready to be inspired and to take massive action to unleash your inner legend. Welcome to the Unleash Your Inner Legend podcast. Today, I have a near and dear friend of mine on. I am so excited. Welcome, Janet the Pink Realtor.
Oh, thank you so much, Holly, for having me.
Girl, I am so excited to talk about your journey and kind of let listeners know more about you. But before we kind of get into the whole story of everything, how you got started on the career path you're on, let's kind of share with everyone, like, what do you do and like, where are you based out of?
Well, I am a realtor. I've been in the business for 14 years. And right now I am back home in my home sweet home of San Antonio, Texas. And I'm part of Maloof International Group here in town. So that's what we do with real estate.
I love it. So let's talk about this real estate journey. The cool thing is that's how we got to know each other. I got the privilege to work with you as a colleague. And boy, those were the times. So
those were some good days. Good old Lawton.
Lot of craziness. So let's talk about it. Like, what got you into real estate?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny that you're actually asking me this today, because as a matter of fact, just yesterday, you know, when you're in the shower and you have like those like deep thought moments and you're like, how did I get here? Right. We all do that in the showers, especially with everything going on right now with quarantine. I was thinking about like, when was the actual first time I ever even thought of real estate? And for years, I swear I've been giving everybody the story of Lawton, because it's true. So when I first moved to Lawton, Oklahoma, you know, we got stationed there, my family and I. So I saw this big old sign at the Coldwell Banker office, and it said that, you know, take classes, yada, yada. And I signed up for it, and immediately I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, we relocate so much with the military, and I just want to be that person who already knows how that feels and helps others, you know, with the relocation process. So I've always told everyone that's the story, and it really is. However, last night I was thinking of all the way back to Georgia, right? So that was my first move out of Texas. I was 19 years old. Of course, I got married. And so with the military, we had to transition over to Georgia. So there I was in this state that I had, you know, I never knew anyone. I didn't have a soul for, you know, thousands of miles away that I knew. And I started working at a hotel. So that was my background here in San Antonio. I worked for the Marriott River Center. So when I was working there at the hotel in Georgia, I specifically remember that I had that idea of, hey, I want to do real estate. That's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Like, I just had a draw to it. And I remember I got so discouraged, because when I was working at the hotel, there was a couple of sheriffs that would come into the hotel for lunch, and they would, you know, they would come in and do the buffet or whatever. It was a country style buffet. And so they would come in, and I remember speaking to a few of them about real estate, because some of them did it like part-time, right, when they weren't doing all their sheriff duties. And I felt so discouraged, because I literally got discouraged with him saying, it's so hard, it's really hard to make it, especially as a woman, you know, you're not going to make it. That's why I do it part-time. And so at the time, I thought that industry was just like totally out of my hands, like totally out of reach. And so I put it aside. And then a whole like 8 months later, when we moved to Oklahoma, that's when I saw the Coldwell Banker sign.
I love it. And the crazy thing too, is like, you know, I think it all comes down to like personality type, like your strengths or weaknesses. And for those who don't know Janet just yet, like, Janet is like the definition of a perfect real estate agent. She's outgoing. She's personable. She works hard. So it's crazy to think that, like, you know,
someone just because they weren't a fit for the career. They just flat out encourage you. So it's like, that's crazy to think that like for that moment you had that doubt, but I'm glad that you didn't, because we wouldn't have crossed paths for sure. You know, just because of how we met. So you get your real estate license, you start kind of like navigating the waters. What's it like, you know, when you were traveling and you were moving around, like how did you get connected back within the community when it came to real estate? Like what kind of tips could you give out to those who maybe they're just starting out and they don't have any connections? I mean, even though you're as real estate, like an established real estate professional, you still like, if you pick up a move, you still got to, you know, almost recreate yourself and reestablish yourself as an agent. What tips would you give to listeners on how they can kind of be known in their marketplace, being brand new or just new to the area?
Oh my goodness. And isn't that the truth? So with me, it was very hard every time I moved to a new city, because I had to rebrand myself. I had to, I didn't know anyone. Like you said, you know, how do you get leads? How do you do sales? How do you do transactions when you're in a city that you didn't even grow up in, that you know no one, right? And for me, the thing that I know for sure helped me survive this industry is my personality. Because if I wasn't outspoken, if I wasn't, you know, fearless, I definitely would have gotten cast out of the industry in so many different moves. Just because if you're not out there, you know, we always say hunting, you're it's not going to come to you. You know, the business is never going to come to you. You're not just going to sit back and people are going to be calling you off the hook like, hey, I heard you got your real estate license, you know, I want to buy a house. That never happens. So I think a lot of advice I give a lot of the younger agents is that, right? So a lot of them think, hey, I passed my test. I got my license today. Like, let's go. You know, I'm going to start rolling in dough. And unfortunately, that's definitely not the case. And so I do help within our market center, teach a lot of our classes, which we call Ignite classes. I teach them how to, you know, how we host a mega open house and the standards we have for our team, right? Because a lot of the, you know, typical agent will put an open house sign in their yard and just pray people come in and pray that, that, you know, someone comes in and just puts in an offer, sells that house. And that's never the case. You know, you have to definitely think outside the box. And I think what helped me a lot too, from all of the different brokerages I worked at, well, I'm very loyal, so I only worked for four with y'all, right, when I started. So four, and it was because of moves. The only reason I ever switched brokerages was because of the moves, right? If it wasn't for the moves, I would have stayed at one brokerage forever. That's just my loyalty. And the thing that helped me with that is when you're rebranding yourself, you have to think outside the box, as in, what else can I do differently, right? So we go back to, like, the standards are putting 5 signs on a yard. We put, like, 20. And I remember every time I'm putting out my signs, I always think of when I was part of, you know, the J. Kinder crew, and when we would put out just, like, all these tons of signs in the street, and all these people would come by the open houses because they would just be like, hey, those signs, you know, what's going on? Like, is this house pretty much being given away? And so I always give them creative ideas. Of course, a big thing for me is it kind of just stuck with me, the whole pink realtor thing. I've been wearing pink, gosh, my whole life, right? My nails, my lipstick and everything. And so it kind of, at first it started off as like something funny. It started in, you know, people would be like, hey, oh, you're the one always wearing pink. Oh, you're the one in, you know, always with pink, bright lipstick or whatever. And so people would just say, oh, the pink realtor. Oh, I know who's on the other side of this transaction. It's a pink realtor, you know? So I tell everybody, what makes you you? Because that's really what's going to help you survive in this industry. You know, you can copy and model someone else's system. And at the end of the day, if you're not yourself, if you don't put your own personality to it, you're really not going to survive, because there's tons of agents, I mean, doing the same thing.
100%. I love that, because it's a lot that you mentioned, you know, the brand loyalty, there's, you know, brand consistency, but there's also that guerrilla marketing. You're everywhere. Don't put 10 signs out, put 20. Don't, you know, don't send out 5 postcards, send out 500, whatever it's got to do to reestablish yourself. But you've also got to remain consistent and then also get clear on your marketing messages too, which I know Janet, like, it's funny about you. Like, I know you, you know, with you guys moving so much and so often, it's like, I wouldn't know exactly where you'd be at, but I'd always know that you're selling real estate. I'd always know you're wearing pink, and I always knew that you were representing the best interest of your clients. So it was just brand consistent messages that, you know, that was just what really reinstated who you were as a professional. So yeah, like you wear a lot of pink. Let's kind of talk about this. This is very cool. This is a unique way that you've done with personal branding, because it's like, even, you know, when I knew you like 10 years ago, when I first met you back in 2010, like, you were wearing pink. So why pink? Like, when did that whole thing start?
I honestly, everybody asked me that question, and I can't think of, like, you know, like a awakening moment when I was just like, that's going to be it. You know, that's what I'm going to do now. It just kind of, over the years, even when I was a teenager, I'm always drawn to pink. It's kind of an obsession. It can be a bad thing sometimes. So, like, I walk into a store, it could be like the most random thing that I don't need at the time, like a pink pot. And, you know, I just want it because it's pink. And so it just, I mean, half of my closet is pink. Probably like 20% of it is black, because I always tell people, you know, I'm either all pink or I'm just going to be, you know, a little black, like a little bit of my soul. So everybody thinks it's hilarious, you know, me and my, you know, sarcasm. And so I've just been wearing pink forever. My nail people already know, like, what shade of pink or what glitter pink, or, you know, they just know that I'm not going to change or diverge from that, because that's just who I am. And I love that we do live somewhere where we can be who we are, and we don't have to, you know, follow everyone else. We don't have to be in uniform, and, you know, it's pink. I mean, and it's not a color for most men. So that kind of puts it in different perspective. Like, sometimes I'll give away cups or things that are pink, and a lot of my guy clients, you know, I'm like, okay, maybe I doubt myself a little bit. Like, oh, they're going to be like, I don't want this. And, you know, they still dig it. They love it. It's cool. And it's just something that they always say they remember me by. So, yeah, I love it.
I love it too. It's a great way to really create, like, what is unique about you, and really make people remember you. Cause, you know, you see people, like, you know, acting ridiculous, being a little crazy, whatever, and to get that brand recognition, but you don't always have to act crazy to get attention. You just got to be consistent in your messaging and your branding, and you nailed it with that. Cause to be honest, I don't know any other pink realtors. Like, if I think of, even if I see pink, I think of you. Like, you've done such a great job of positioning yourself. And one thing too, I really want to talk to you about, because you can share so much insight on this, is, you know, mm-hmm. you're talking about, you know, the sheriff's, you know, said, hey, it's going to be hard for you, especially being a woman. And, you know, a lot of us women who are professionals, we do struggle with, like, the mom guilt. We struggle with the tip, you know, things like that. However, I really want to talk to you about a little bit more deeper into it about hardships. What advice would you give for other professionals, men or women, on overcoming depression, anxiety, but then while you're battling that, you know, you still got to take care of your clients. You still got to have that family balance. How, like, what advice would you give, and how do you handle that?
Oh my goodness. So if you would have asked me this question about 3 years ago, I would have had honestly no idea what advice to give anyone, right? However, I clearly know a lot about that now. So just a little bit about the past couple years have been pretty rough for me on my personal side, just because, you know, I had to go through a divorce, and, you know, it was just like all of my plans I had, of course, you know, our plans are always changing in life. And so I really thought and was convinced that this was going to be my final move, right? Moving back to San Antonio, coming back home, being close and anchored down to family, and that everything was just going to be like a bliss, right? Like, I've made it this far, and this is what I have come to, you know, conquer, and we're going to build our dream house, and this is going to be it for me with the white picket fence. And unfortunately, things did not happen like that, right? It was kind of, coming back home was kind of a dead end to everything I knew from my life for the past, you know, 13 years before that. And so everything came to a halt, and it really did test me big time in my business, because if I didn't have the mentality and the strength and the structure I had as an individual, I would not have stayed a realtor. And that's a fact. Even just the whole divorce and everything, it almost put me out of business because, you know, I went from 13 years of real estate, doing it more of like extra income, secondary income, you know, to my household, and just never having that full stress of being the provider and the breadwinner for my children. So I always had I still put my clients, you know, interest first, even now, and even through when I was going through depression and all that. However, it was, I will say it was a little bit easier putting all their interests first and being just stressed about work rather than life for a couple of years. So I really, now I appreciate that I had all that season. You know, it was a really a soft season for me, and it wasn't so hard. And when I went into being a single mother and having to, you know, survive and support my children all together, especially after having this dream house building, you know, of course, a lot more bills, it was really, really hard. And honestly, if I would not have had a supportive team, I don't think I would have made it, because, you know, there was times where I was going through something and it would carry on onto my business, as in like that day I would just get so upset about a transaction, right? Because I was so terrified of losing that deal, because this was my, you know, my income for me and my family, and for me, you know, for me and my children. So I would get so depressed and discouraged, and I would sit in my car at the office crying. And if it wasn't for my friend Scott, who's, you know, who I work with right now, if it wasn't for him always giving me good encouraging words and just letting me know, it was so funny, he would always tell me, you know, you're a boss, like, don't let anything defeat you, you know. And it was a big mental struggle for me. There were so many days, so many nights I cried, and I just wanted to give up, because I was like, you know, what's going to be easier for me to deal with at this moment? Leaving real estate, yeah, and just doing something where I clock in at 9, clock out at 5, but then I'm done, right? I'm done dealing with people. I'm done dealing with transactions. I'm just checked out mentally. And if it wasn't for him to continue to push me, I was definitely going to be taken out of the business. And so what happened, interestingly, was that first year, my sales dropped tremendously. And I mean, it was pretty bad. And this past year, I actually was the first year that I was 100% on my own living with no help from anyone, you know, no spouse or anything. And I really did well. Like, I'm proud of myself. And at the end of the year, I sat back and thought, okay, I'm definitely not where I was supposed to be. Definitely not where I want to be. However, I did that all on my own, you know, and for my children. And I didn't let the pressures of life take over me. And the biggest thing we have to remember too, when we're dealing with personal issues, is leaving those troubles at the door, because people can read you, right? Especially me. You know, me and my faces are my big expressions, and I wear my heart on my sleeve. So people can definitely tell when something is wrong with me. So I always have to, like, in an instant, just, okay, I'm leaving my baggage at the door. It's time to just, you know, rock it out and just handle this deal, handle this transaction, handle, you know, what's the best outcome for my clients in this situation, and just putting them first and taking my whole life mentally out of it. And then once I'm ready and done and everything's been handled and everything's going good, and that, then going back to take care of myself. And so it was hard. I didn't know anything about depression. I didn't know anything about anxiety. I mean, I didn't even know what that word was. And so I unfortunately had to deal with all of it. I dealt with depression, anxiety, even suicidal thoughts that, I mean, people that know me, people that, I mean, that's hard for me to even say out loud, because people that know me know that I'm just always putting on a strong, you know, a strong game face. And I would have never thought, you know, that could happen to me. Like, I'm just so strong mentally that you can't bring me down like that. And it's pretty interesting what happens when you go through a situation yourself rather than looking into someone else's situation. So the advice I just give everyone is just, you know, you still have to take care of yourself at the end of the day, whether that's meditating. Of course, for me, it's praying all the time, spending time with your children, things that make you happy, and, you know, taking care of yourself just physically and mentally, spiritually is going to carry on to your business, because everything you do privately will carry on to your business, and it'll show whether it's in the month or the whole year.
I absolutely love it. That's amazing advice. I mean, you're so spot on when it comes to not only just like mentally and physically working on yourself, but then also like lowering your guard and, you know, checking that ego and allowing yourself to accept help from your team to, you know, have that support system. Because I mean, I've been there, I've done that. I mean, I feel like a lot of us have, you know, been through those dark times in life, whether it's a job loss, divorce, if it's change in life, death, whatever it is. But it's like, I think a big understanding, I think a big point of it is like understanding that this is a season and like making those choices, knowing that this is going to pass. So like you said, you could have told me, gave up your whole career that you worked so hard and established yourself as, but that would have been such, it could have been such a permanent choice if you were to quit that career and go completely something else. But like from that, and I mean, I'm just saying this from even, you know, just a strength standpoint, it's like you have became such a more stronger, independent, and, you know, just better person after dealing with all that, you know, picking yourself up every day and make, you know, going through the rhythms and going through everything and just not allowing it to really define who you are, but really kind of figure out who you are as a person. So like, you know, going through that and talking about that, I feel like this is going to lead us into our next conversation piece. Let's talk about like current reality. So you're seeing coronavirus and we're actually experiencing, you know, not necessarily, you know, unfortunately some of us are affected by the virus itself, but a lot more people are affected by the economy that's followed with the impact. So I know like right now, you know, when you first start real estate, it's fun, it's exciting. But then you see a market shift. And right now, I wouldn't say it's a market shift right now, because I feel like it's just, you know, current, just based on the current situation. Of course, it's always subject to change. But right now, we're starting to see a shift, not necessarily in the market, but a shift in the way we're doing business. So you see, it's cool to see agents pivoting and not panicking. What do you currently do to kind of, you know, adapt with the current situations we're experiencing?
Yes, and I think that's very true. What everybody is doing in our marketplace is we're using this time wisely. We're using it to learn and to really just master our craft, you know. This is not the first time, unfortunately, that I go through a market shift, you know, and so it hasn't shifted yet. However, I think that it's going to be, of course, affecting us here shortly. And I do think that the past season in my life when I was in Oklahoma, when I first started off as an agent, you know, back then with me and you, when we were at the office, all that, I mean, it was a bliss, right? So right when I got my license, I was like, okay, I'm not even going to finish college because this is it. This is where the money's at. Like, we're going to be, you know, doing amazing. And then what happened, like, literally in within a year, we had the, you know, market shift in 2008 around that time. And so for me, I was like, oh my gosh, this business is just, when I'm learning it, it's like just crashing. It's going to be over forever, you know? And of course I learned over time that everything, you know, turned back around and the economy got better. And so there's always going to be these little shifts and these changes within the real estate market and within just everything, the economy in general. And so I think that season is helping me through this season, because had I not been an agent years ago, I would be panicked right now, because I would be like, okay, I'm the only, you know, person supporting my children right now. And how am I going to make it with, you know, we're just commission based and, you know, everybody's just having to stay home. So of course some buyers aren't able to put in offers like we expected or we projected. Our goals for the month are definitely now, you know, not where they should be. And so instead, we're not letting fear take over, right? We're choosing faith over fear. And we're using this time to think outside the box. Again, I go back to that message. What can we do to still work our market and to still, you know, help our clients without physically always, you know, being there with these mega open houses? And just everything is, we're all pivoting, right? And so what I like a lot is that we're coming up with just different ideas, like, hey, doing open houses, like with virtual tours instead of, you know, people coming over physically, everybody just going on online and, you know, the agent walking through the floor plan and, you know, bringing out everything on the home and giving all the information online rather than in person. So just thinking about different ideas and how we can still continue with our business, I think it's going to help us in the long run. And of course, we're going to see, just like we did back then in that season, we saw a lot of agents leave the business because it did get really hard. And I think that's going to happen again here shortly. We're going to definitely just see the strong agents make it through. However, my advice to the agents out there right now that are just at home thinking, like, panicking, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to get another job. Don't get another job because it will distract you, right? I've done that. I've done that myself where I've done something else on the side. And it definitely distracts you from real estate. And that's not what you want to do, especially during this critical time. So for me, I've been, you know, reading my shift book. I've been doing all these meetings with my team and just we're still following up with our goals and we're still doing everything we do weekly, just not in person and just restructuring our schedule where everything is online and virtual. And like I said, just using our time wisely to read up on everything. There's so many books on real estate and there's so many things you could be doing right now, script practicing, role playing with your partners, you know, reaching out to your sphere influence that maybe you're not going to buy right now, you know, however they might later on the year, maybe next year, who knows, with everything going on, maybe they come across an even better job, you know. So just staying focused on the positive and the outcome. There's always going to be, you know, a rainbow at the end of the storm. So it's not the end of it. And I think that that's where everybody's getting confused, is everybody's thinking that's it for us, you know. And I'm thankful that I'm not scared during this shift.
You are so spot on with all of that. Like, you know, thinking back in 2008, when we did experience like that recession, we experienced the housing market crash. You know, I didn't get into real estate until 2010. So I didn't get to experience that. But I did go into like a terrible market where it was definitely a buyer's market. But during those times, I know so many mega agents that they're so successful because they made it through those times and they didn't quit. And, you know, it's all about, you know, you can still make those phone calls. You can still utilize the technology we have. And understanding too, it's like looking at the facts, knowing that you see, like, you know, China's starting to, you know, allow people to come out of their house without masks on. You're starting to see all this stuff. So it's like, you know, it's scary right now and it's probably going to keep, it's probably going to keep, you know, going on. We're going to experience this for at least another few weeks, but understanding that it's a season, it's something that you just know you, once you get through it, you're going to grow even more from learning to adapt and shift, not so much of just quitting or trying to go get another job or trying to do something else. Because I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks with us in this current condition. If you can't survive, you know, a couple of weeks of hardship, like you got to really adjust and work on a routine and understand like the whole way of adapting.
Yes, and I think a lot of agents also have to adapt in different forms. Like, you know, we're always, of course, quick to say, like, hey, these people, you know, in order to get pre-approval, you need to cut down on your budget and you need to do this and this. And so it's time to take a step back and look at our own finances and our own budgets and think, like, hey, what can I cut back on and what can I do and what can I change? Things that I have control over to keep me where I want to be so that I won't be, you know, taken out of that whole industry, because I'll still be able to carry on even if there is a few bad months, you know, that I'm going to be able to make it to the next month and make it to, you know, the next shift.
I love it. Janet, thank you so much for just walking us through like your journey, just telling us the cool stuff about you, but then also being open and real and just letting people know that, you know, giving that much that encouragement and then that advice that you gave. I appreciate you being on And before I let you go, what's the best way for listeners to connect with you, to follow you, and just to kind of, you know, ask you any questions that they may have?
Okay. Well, yes, I appreciate it. And, you know, everything from here on out that I do, I will share with you. And so I love that we still stay in touch with each other, even though we're, you know, cities away. And so any advice you can always give me from your point of view out in Dallas, just reach out to me and, you know, you always have me here for you. As far as if anybody wants to follow my Instagram page, it's Janet Favela Pinky. And I do, like I said, I'll be posting everything pink. So you'll see that it's my page. I also have Janet Favela Pink Realtor. So Janet, your pink realtor. Sorry. That's my Instagram page. So connect with me on there. Of course, I'm on Facebook, and I actually am working on my YouTube channel. So I'm also going to use this time right now during this season to launch that, and also my podcast, Working With You. So I appreciate you, Holly, and thank you so much for reaching out to me. We'll see each other soon.
Yes, yes, yes. And I am super excited for your podcast. So you guys keep an eye out for that. Have a great one, you guys, and stay safe, and most importantly, stay sane during this time.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Unleash Your Inner Legend. For more inspiration, make sure to subscribe by going to unleashyourinnerlegend.com. We'll see you guys next week.